Welcome back in hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's that time of the week. We go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our good friend Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, what's going on? How you doing?
I am splendid. Just reveling in another Chicago Bears victory.
Yes.
Another huge step forward towards the playoffs, which are inevitable at this point.
Yes, absolutely. Corey, we've been asking the question all morning long. It's our poll question of the day at 102.5 The Game.
Are the Bears
on Twitter
in the playoffs? Absolutely.
Yeah, that's exactly what we've been asking here on the show all day long. What was the more disrespectful stiff arm, in your opinion? Derrick Henry on Josh Norman, or what Derrick Henry did yesterday to Alex Myers?
You know, yesterday was amazing because of the way he just kind of like grabbed him and threw him by the head, which was incredible. But nobody's ever heard of Alex Myers. And we've all seen the Derrick Henry stiff arm before. So when you see him send him flying like a reindeer off a rooftop, it's almost to be expected. Josh Norman's a guy who's been a Pro Bowl player in this league. And all of a sudden, you know, you saw him go horizontal. And it was amazing. I'm going to go with the Josh Norman one still.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because I agree that the Josh Norman one is the better highlight. And as you said, it's a significant player. I think in pure like violence or disrespect, I think yesterday's was the nastiest one of Henry's tenure. It just didn't quite give the beautiful horizontal floating through the air and the memes that come with it, right?
But no, it was kind of like a Lord of the Rings movie with an ogre running loose and just thrashing hobbits.
Well done. So, Corey, we've been talking today, you know, and honestly, this is one of those things that, like, last night, you know, it's like every time you check the scores, you check the standings, and I'm looking at everything, I'm like, gosh, it's crazy. Like, they're 10-4.
Yep.
They've been in twice at 9 with a 16 field, and they are no lock. Like, when you look at the whole picture to get in, how do you feel about their position right at this moment?
Well, it's funny because, you know, the last couple of years it's come down to 9-7 in a play-in game. And here we could be looking at, you know, 11-5 and, you know, 11-5 being a play-in game. And that's tough, especially in an expanded year in the playoffs, but that's unfortunately the way it is. So, you know, they're going to have to do it. Now, are they guaranteed at 11-5 yet, Joe, or is there an out at 11-5?
I believe that 11-5, because I don't believe that the Dolphins, I think they've got the Dolphins, right? Is my understanding in the tiebreaker situation is they have the Dolphins.
I'm going to guess, you know, a loss to the Texans would be a lot worse than a loss to the Jaguars because it's in the conference.
Right. And of course, you know, if you look at it right now, the Dolphins are, you know, they're 6-4 in the conference.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they could end up 8-4 if the Titans, but then the Titans would be 2. So honestly, that's a good question. As of now, they have been ahead of the Dolphins and they could have clinched yesterday. But that's one of those, we may need to get Elias Sports Bureau involved in here. I mean, think about that. Think about the Titans going 11-5 and not getting in.
Yeah.
No, I mean, no, it would be absolutely brutal. And also it would be brutal for this offense to not be in the postseason and for you to sit there and bang your head over a loss in the Natty. Earlier in the season where you just played absolutely terrible. Like, I don't ever guarantee victories in the NFL. The Jets should show you why yesterday, because it happens in this league. It just does. But I would be very surprised if the Texans had anything to offer them in Week 17. I'm interested to see what happens next Sunday night, but I feel good about Week 17 for a Texans team, which – you know, found a way not to tie it up yesterday. But they'll be in their last week. And I just, defensively, I don't think they've got anything for this team. I think it's going to be a long day in Houston for that defense.
Corey Curtis from News 2 on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Corey, I mean, Ryan Tannehill yesterday, 21 of 27, 273, three touchdowns, adds two more touchdowns on the ground. He's playing at a level right now that I'm not sure that I've seen from a Titans quarterback. And, you know, obviously it's different with McNair and just the era of ball that you're playing right now and that you're seeing in the NFL. But I'm not sure that Ryan Tannehill isn't playing right now as good at the quarterback position as we've ever seen here in Nashville.
Well, you're right. It's a different era and it's a different player. But he was really, really good yesterday. And I thought one of the things that was important was, you know, a week ago in Jacksonville, I thought Mike Vrabel set the tone for his team with really aggressive play calling. I thought Ryan Tannehill set the tone for the team, you know, yesterday, because he came out and he was aggressive and he was extremely accurate. He threw the ball into some tight windows early, marching the team down the field. He was dialed in, and I felt like he had an edge to him playing to start that football game. And when you're playing bad teams, you know, Ryan talked about it after the game, coming out with a sense of urgency. I thought he had that sense of urgency, and it propelled his team forward. You know, he had some really, like I said, tight window throws that helped move this thing along. I still don't know how he missed Corey Davis for that wide open touchdown at the end of the game. But the big one was, you know, he had Corey 10 yards wide open on the 75-yarder, and that was a huge play. I mean, when your opponent punches you back and you can immediately counterpunch them and just land a block, a shot of just telling them, hey, look, you guys are going to have a really long day here. And I thought that's what that pass play told the Detroit Lions, is you're not going to stop this team. I don't know why the Lions ever punted yesterday. I thought it was a futile exercise, and Ryan Tannehill was a big reason for that. Yeah, Derrick Henry was sensational. There's no doubt about that. But Tannehill was really dialed in.
Lions fake punted too, and actually I thought they got it,
I didn't even know why they were lined up for the punt there. I don't know how the Titans could have been caught by surprise at all on that.
So Darrington Evans, Adoree Jackson, on one hand it's like, gee, like this offense needs any more help. On the other hand, my goodness, does this defense need more help? What did you think of them? What do you think of those two moving forward?
Well, you know, we talked about Darrington Evans, and I think he's like a 4-4 guy. I remember coming out of the draft, and we were excited what he could bring to them, especially in the passing game. And, you know, he missed so much time with hamstring injuries, he just kind of gave up on seeing it. And you're just like, okay, just moving on. And then you see that screen pass and the burst he showed down that right sideline, and you're like, wow, okay. And, yeah, I mean, there's a difference between Darrington Evans on the field on third down and Jeremy McNichol. And it's going to be interesting to see because, like you said, another weapon to the mix. Now, I'm not going to go along with A.J. Brown, who said there's no drop-off from Derrick Henry to him. And I don't think that's what he meant, but that's the way it came out. But he adds a speed element. And look, Derrick Henry is a speed element. There's no doubt about it. But it's a different kind of speed element. This is a faster twitch, you know, quicker speed element to that receiving game. And it's going to be interesting to see how they can incorporate him. And it might be good for them to be able to get Derrick Henry off the field on a few more snaps. I know they've been trying to, regardless of whether they want to talk about it or not. But that was great to see. And, you know, I think Adoree, I saw the snap numbers was in like 42-45% of the snaps. And I thought it was critical to get him out there before the Packer game. So it was good to see him out there. I thought he largely looked pretty good. And, you know, once again, they had zero pass rush, but it did look like their coverage was better in this game. I don't know if that's because of the Lions receivers or because, you know, they were better in coverage. I thought Byard played great in coverage yesterday. Really, I thought kind of took that Hockenson matchup personally. Malcolm Butler continued to play like Malcolm Butler. And if Adoree can be out there and help them lock down another guy, because Malcolm's been good all year, you know, maybe that's the extra half second or the extra 8 seconds the pass rush needs to get there. We'll see.
Corey Curtis from News 2 on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Corey, obviously a big one coming up on Sunday night for the Titans, Sunday night football against the Packers. What do you think about that matchup heading into the game?
You know, it's it's exciting and terrifying all at the same time. You know, because you're like, how are they going to stop Green Bay at all? But Green Bay only managed 3 second-half points against Carolina the other night. I'm still trying to figure out how that happened. You know, the Packers barely got by the Jaguars a few weeks ago. So while this is a dynamic Green Bay team, they do fall into lulls at some time. I'm not sure why that is, but they do. You know, so that Malcolm Butler, I expect Malcolm Butler to follow Devontae Adams wherever he is on the field. That's what I would do. But we'll see how they handle that. That's going to be exciting to see. You know, one of the big keys the last couple of weeks for the Titans defensively is they've done a pretty nice job against the run, and it's helped set them up for the rest of the time. And so, you know, what can they do against Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams, who have also combined for 72 catches, I think, this year?
Yep.
And so I think that, you know, without Jayon Brown, I think that's going to be a big challenge in this football game. And you're going to have to come out and score a lot and keep scoring. Because if they're down three, if something happens, you get out 28-7, which can happen with this team. It's not over, and it's not over by a long shot because, you know, turnovers masked their defense largely yesterday. Now they created them, so they get the credit for them, but they're not a fixed product by any mean. But you know, look, this is as exciting of a Week 16 matchup as we've had in a long time. I think the league should be excited about it. I think if Derrick Henry has any shot to win the MVP, and nobody's talking about him right now, really. They're talking about the quarterbacks, as they usually do. But if he can go out and put up 200 and beat Aaron Rodgers, people will be talking about it. And so it'll be fun to see.
Corey Curtis from News 2 has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. Looking forward to the game on Sunday. Corey, thanks for dropping by. Great stuff as always.
I'm looking forward to it too, Robbie, but I'm looking more forward to the Week 17 matchup when the Bears play the Packers
yes.
for a spot in the postseason.
Yes. It's going to be a good one.
Mitch Believer now?
Are you kidding me? I'm ready to give him a 6-year deal worth $300 million.
I'm sure you are. We'll have to watch that game, Corey. It'll be nice. Packers and Bears, wrapping it up.
You know what? In all seriousness, and I know you guys have a show to move along with, I'm happy for Mitch Trubisky. He has played well, and their team, it's amazing in the NFL how unrecognizable teams can be for segments of the season.
Yeah.
Because this team could not move the football at all. And I think, you know, we talk about the Titans putting up 30 points 5 weeks in a row. This Bears offense that we watched here at Nissan Stadium has scored 30 points 3 games in a row.
Shocking, really.
That is amazing. I mean, I know the Lions are one of those teams, but still, that's amazing.
It doesn't matter. It does. Look, they didn't look like they could put 30 on the Brentwood Blaze when they were here, all right?
That's a great point. Corey Curtis from News 2 has been our guest. Corey, appreciate it, man. Hope you have a Merry Christmas.
All right, you too, guys. Appreciate the time.
When we come back, we'll dive back into the Titans' big win against the Lions. A great day for the offense, as this is high a level as an offense has been clicking for the Titans in the history of their franchise. We'll discuss on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.